talk to him. He talks with me, and I feel better 'cause I am free. Take my hand and lead me home, precious Lord. Well, I've seen lots of things in I've been through trouble and I've been through strife. When I reach up and he reaches down and takes my hand. And when the time has come to go, I'll leave this world and all its woe. Take my hand and lead me home, precious Lord. But I want us to be together in heaven. I want us to be together in heaven. I want to walk down the streets of your gold. I want to run through the fields of clover, see the mansions, smell the flowers, hear the singing, it's all ours. See the river gently flowing, feel the breezes gently blowing. I want us to be together in heaven. You may be a millionaire, wearing clothes beyond compare. You may have the best that money can buy, but if the blood is not applied, then in hell you'll lift your eyes. But I want us to be together in heaven. I want us to be together in heaven. I want to walk down the streets of your gold. I want to run through the fields of green clover. See the mansion, smell the flowers, hear the singing, it's all ours. See the river gently flowing, feel the breezes gently blowing. I want us to be together in heaven. I want us to be together in heaven.
I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be His than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or land. I'd rather be led by His nail-pierced hand than to be the King of a vast domain and be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. I'd rather have Jesus than men's applause. I'd rather be faithful to His dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to His holy name than to be the King of a vast domain and be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. He's fairer than lilies of rarest bloom. He's sweeter than honey from out the comb. He's all that my hungering spirit needs. I'd rather have Jesus and let Him lead than to be the King of a vast domain and be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today.
Very blessed. Come, thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet sung by flaming tongues above. Praise His name, I'm fixed upon it, name of God's redeeming love. Hitherto Thy love has blessed me, Thou hast brought me to this place. And I know Thy hand will bring me safely home by Thy good grace. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger bought me with His precious blood. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it for thy courts above. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it for thy courts above. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it for thy courts above.
What you see before you, I've not always been. I once was so broken and battered by sin. The story that I tell you is such a marvelous thing. Now love brought together a beggar and a king. I traded for riches the rags of my soul. I gave him the pieces. He made me whole. I brought to him nothing, and he gave me everything. He found the king. Say it's so hard for you to. All I can say is that I agree. Of all the world's stories this world has ever seen, there'll never be a greater than how Jesus loved me. I traded the rags of my soul. I gave him the pieces, and he made me whole. I brought to him nothing, and he gave me everything. He found so aimless, life filled with sin. I wouldn't let my dear Savior in. Then Jesus came like a stranger in the night. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. side. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. Just like a fool, I wandered along. Worries and fears I claim for my own. Now I'm, God gave back his sight. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light.
Left the splendor of heaven, knowing his destiny was the lonely hill of Golgotha. There to lay down his life for me. If that isn't love, the ocean is dry. Is dry. stars in the sky, and the sparrow can't fly. If that isn't love, then heaven's a mere. There's no feeling like this. If that isn't love.
I'm not going to try to go down and just spend a great amount of time on any one of these parts or pieces of armor or weapons, but I do want to touch each of the seven and deal with the weapons of our warfare. This morning, we really tried to shake us and stir up and help us to step back and see where we are in time, where we are in history, and where we're headed concerning the future, and it's a dark picture. I'll just be honest with you. We are not living in a great move of God. We're not living in one of the great revivals that God shook a nation. The reality is we're living in dark, perilous days. Deceptive, demonic days. Days of depravity. Days that will get harder. I wish I had a brighter picture to tell you, and I do have a brighter picture. It's not going to be dark. We're going up tonight. We're going to ascend and get off this low level. The reality is it's going to get worse before it gets better, but it is going to get better. Heaven will fix it all. Amen. And know this, God is a sovereign God, and He could have picked you and chose you to be born in any portion or part of time, and He handpicked you to live in the last days. He trusted you. He had faith in you. He believed in you to let you live and let me live in these days. And we should not let Him down. Amen. After all, I know we live, most Christians, evident by how many are not back tonight that were here this morning. Most Christians, it's just the facts, don't wake up every morning with the understanding and the heavy realization that we are at war. At best, most Christians show up on Sunday and check off their list and feel like we've done God a favor by being faithful. But I'm being honest with you. And what I've surveilled and what I have seen and what I have helped pastor people, the majority of church people, and I'm not talking about the world, but the majority of church people don't wake up serious and sober-minded daily with the understanding we are at war. And as I said this morning, there have been times that we could stand and the warfare may have not been as hot and heavy, but in these days we're headed for, that kind of standing will not work. You'll be knocked down, you'll be left down, and that is not what you want. And so, how do we stand? Over and over in these verses we're about to read, four times God said, stand, stand, that you can stand and withstand in the evil day. And so this morning we looked at the warfare, and tonight we're going to look at the weapons that can help us to stand. Verse 10, Ephesians 6, verse 10. You've been sitting a while to stand. We'll read these verses together. Honor God's word and let you stretch a minute. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about. Number one, there's that first part, that first piece. Having your loins girt about with truth. Number two, having the breastplate of righteousness. Number three, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Number four, and above all, taking the shield of faith wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for the saints. For all saints. You can be seated. Thank you again for standing. We read together, and it's been, I'm sure, I've preached six of these. However, as I mentioned this morning, I've seen seven. Seven key. And two times in this text, he says, put on. And God don't waste words. If it's in the Bible, it's in the Bible for a reason. It's the holy, spoken, written Word of God. And He don't waste words. And so if it's there, it's for our attention. And He said, put on not the armor of God, but put on the whole armor of God. So it's vitally important that we know all the pieces. Wouldn't you agree? And I see more than six. And I'll say this in a minute, but think about the number six. And if it was six, it wouldn't mess up everything. But the number six is in the Word of God is the number of man. But there's seven. What's the number of seven? The number of completion and perfection. And that's what God is doing in us. And with the whole armor of God is for the perfecting of the saints. So let's look at them this evening together. Again, we'll just move quickly. But four times in these few verses, the Lord said, stand. Then He tells us how we can stand. And I'll say one more time, I hate to say this again, but it's true. In this new phase we're headed into as Christian people, sadly, listen to me, there'll be people that you know, people that you love, who will not make it, who will not be standing when it's all said and done. I hate that. But Brother Jackie, I could give you the floor and you could name already, before we got into this evil of a day and this deceptive of a day and these days we're living in, already we can name person after person that's no longer standing. And it ain't even got to the heat of the battle. And according to this, it's going to get harder. And men's heart are going to wax colder and we're going to get weaker. And listen, it's going to take everything we have to stand. And I won't, listen, I have failed, I don't know about you, but I failed the Lord enough. If I never fail Him again, and I mean this, it will not hurt my feelings. I have been unfaithful enough. I have fallen short enough. And I do not want to finish this thing knocked down, fallen, and bringing shame to the name of God. I want to be engaged in the battle and fighting faithfully and standing and holding ground steadfast for the Lord. Don't you? By your presence here tonight, you are somewhat serious about serving the Lord. You want to serve the Lord, and it matters that we understand how to do that. And God spelled it out. If you're going to stand, you got to put on the whole armor of God. Wouldn't you agree? God didn't leave us to ourselves, our own strength, to fight this in our own ingenuity or power. God give us the tools necessary to do the job. Amen. In my former employment was a Ford mechanic. And I'll just tell you, you can't do the job without the right tools. You can make a mess and make it a lot worse with the wrong tools. You can strip it out. One little mistake by using the wrong tool can cost you hours of more work. And I have, it's the truth, I have used, because I didn't have the tool I needed, I've tried to use something else that didn't work and ended up having to send that vehicle to somebody else who had the tools to do the job, because I could not do it. And as a man, that hurt my pride to admit that, but it's the truth. Just recently, me and Raymond tag teamed on the church van. And that thing, it whooped us both. Just a simple little old project. And I thought, well, I can't handle it, so I'll give it to Raymond. And it whooped Raymond too. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. We got a bad starter, a bad new starter, and it sent us both for a tailspin. But anyway, we need the right tools, and God give them to us. However, they're at your disposal. You have them. You have already in your possession every tool, every part of the armor. You had it this morning. When you woke up, you had it. The question is, do you have it on? I promise you, when you got ready to come to church tonight, you didn't come. Let me get up here where y'all can see. You didn't come to church like this and say, well, I don't need this, and we'll take one of them off. No, I just don't. I believe I can hack it like this. I ain't going to take a sock off. My point is, I knew to put both shoes on my feet. I knew to put a belt on my pants and a shirt and an undershirt and a tie. I knew what to wear because I've been doing it a long time. I'm not going to miss a sock, because I know two belong there to cover up these ugly toes. I'm not going to miss an undershirt. You know why? Because I sweat, and it'll be bad. I would love to miss this colored noose, but I even wear that to please some of you. I'm saying I know what I'm supposed to wear, and so do you. I hope. I'm not even going to go there. Yeah. You know why? It's obvious. You do it every day. It's almost second nature. It's almost like you don't even have to think. I get up out of the bed and I drift toward my dresser. And before I start, before I go out of my room, before my children see me, I'll be clothed. I wonder if we spent more time this morning clothing our physical body than we did acknowledging what God has given us to clothe ourselves and to arm ourselves, to protect ourselves, and to carry and hold and have. Some of you right now are carrying, and I won't go into naming names, but I know that people here, for your safety, carry. And I'm not against that, but what I will say is, are you carrying what the Lord gave you to carry? Because what a gun cannot do, the sword of the Spirit can. And what a bullet cannot hit, the sword of the Lord can. And what if you had some form of what do they call it? Protective vest, bulletproof vest. You may protect yourself some, but it ain't gonna stop the fiery darts of hell. And we know this. By the way, I promise you, you've been more assaulted by the devil than you have some man. When's the last time you got robbed? I doubt anybody in here could stand up and say, well, this past week, they come up and put a gun to my side, and there I was, unarmed. Got everything I had. Probably couldn't hear that from nobody. Not in the past week, month, or probably year. Most of us, not in our lifetime, has that ever happened.
That's right. Amen.
But we prepare for it. We think ahead and we plan on what to do. We got security systems at our house. We protect ourselves. But we'll wake up and all of us, every one of us, have been accosted and have been robbed and have been damaged by the devil over and over and over again. And the fiery darts of hell have hit us and burned us. Every one of us. True? So why under heaven would we not arm ourselves with the whole armor of God? It ain't costing you a blessed dime. He's freely given. You don't have to go out and get a permit to carry it. You don't have to work and pay and get a good name brand. No, we all got the best name brand. It's straight from God. It's the best that can be issued. Better than money can buy. The armor of God. Do you know what it is? They're yours. I guarantee you, if I come to some of you gun activists, and I like them too, and I can tell you what I got. But if I ask you, hey, what you got in your chest? What's in your gun drawer? Knives. Boy, you could tell me the caliber, how many rounds, all about it. Where you bought it, how long you've had it. Last time you shot it, couldn't you?
Oh, yeah.
And under heaven, if I was to get you up here personally, and you couldn't lie before God and everybody and say, did you suit up this morning with the whole armor of God? It'd probably shame most of us. Yeah. That ought not be so. And so my duty and my job, my calling this evening is to make it known, to preach the Word of God, and to declare what thus saith the Lord. And this is the reality. You might not like me, you might not like my preaching, but you can't do nothing with what I'm about to say. What you're about to be given, you're going to be accountable for.
Amen.
You don't have to like it, but you will be accountable for it.
Amen.
Where much is given, much is required. So you'll never be able to point a finger at God and say, well, I didn't know, because you're about to know. And you can underline it in your Bible, and from here till we meet Jesus, you should never not know what the whole armor of God is again.
Amen.
And knowing, we should arm ourselves and have the weapons fit for battle and warfare. Wouldn't you agree? There's seven parts and pieces. God gives them to us, but as I said this morning, it starts out by saying, put on. He's not going to dress you. Amen. So put it on. Number one, stand, therefore. We're not going to be long. I'm just going to hit these and move, but I want you to underline them. Look in your Bible. Go with me. Let's see. Verse 14. It's number one. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Amen. Your loins, what is that? That's his thigh, that's your legs, and that's the loin speaks of the strength of a man. That's the most powerful position we have, is in the loins. And the Bible says that we gird up our loins with what? Truth. That we could stand. Amen. If we've ever seen a day and an hour where truth is being avoided and misled and trying to be deluded, it's in the day and hour we're living in. Where people want, used to, the truth was the truth. And that's all the truth was. And there wasn't but one truth. Now, you can go to schools and colleges even and places of higher education and they will try to tell you that 2 + 2 is not 4. And we call that an education. And they'll say, well, your truth is truth and his truth is truth and your truth to you is truth and my truth to me is truth and its truth is relative. The only problem with that is it's just not true. Truth is not relative. Truth is absolute. Amen. 2 + 2 is 4. It always will be 4. It don't matter what the teacher says. It don't matter what you feel like. It don't matter what you think. 2 + 2 is 4, and truth is truth. Period. I don't care how many dreams you had. I don't care how you feel about it. I don't care how many degrees you have to tell you. Hey, listen, truth is truth. Don't let nobody ever persuade you otherwise. We must have a foundation that we stand on in this evil day saying, I don't care what the government says. I don't care what education says. I don't care what my job says. I don't even care what preachers and churches are saying. I know what the truth is, and I'm going to stand on the absolute truth. I'm not going to back up from that. I'm not going to bow into that. Hey, listen, the truth, let God be true and every man a lie. And you can stand on the truth. Because the truth will always be the truth. Amen. And in a shifting society, we need to have our loins girt about with truth. Stand. He said, stand. Stand. I mean, like that old song, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree planted by the water. God's saying, don't be moved by every wind of doctrine. Don't be moved by every changing scene. Get somewhere, plant yourself, and be steady and stand on truth. And deep down you know what truth is because the Holy Spirit of God which is in you. What? Know you not that your body is the temple? I'm saying he will shine light and say, amen, that's right. You ever been somewhere and a preacher say something goofy? Just out of left field, pull some crazy idea, and it don't match up with the book. And something in you says, like a guitar, like Noah's picking that guitar up there, and it was just in tune and on key, and just right. And it's, you know it's right. But let me get up there and strum it. It'd be like, you'll just know, wrong, wrong, not in key, not in tune, and you just know it. To the ear, to the soul, to the spirit. It's wrong. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit bears witness with truth. And he'll say, amen. That's right. Whether you like it or not, you know it's right. Amen. Whether you're living in it or not, you know it. I don't have to convince you. The Holy Spirit will. And I'm simply saying, in this day, hey, when I'm not going to dive in here, but I want to say this. If it's ever been wrong, it's still wrong. If it's ever been right, it's still right. If it's ever been true, it's still true. I don't care if it's in my family or yours. I don't care if it affects me and condemns me or yours. The truth is the truth. And if we start conforming and cutting at the edges and compromising here and there, and that's what's happened, whether it be with the Word of God, and oh, what a mess has been woven there, or whether it be with, used to, you couldn't find a church and a preacher who would stand up and say it's all right to drink. Now, you don't have to go out of this denomination to find preachers and churches in this town who have social drinking. And it's okay. But I want to stand up and say, God bless you. It ain't okay. It's still a sin. Wine is a mocker. And you ought not to give yourself the strong drink. It's still sin. You know why? Because it's always been sin. And that's just the truth. Say amen. Hey, boys, look here. You're supposed to grow up, and one day, I know now girls are gross, but soon they won't be, and you should like them. And one day, love them. And you, not girls, boys. They gross now, but you will come soon to the place, and you'll say, there's a little twinkle in my eye. He's cute. And that's good. No girls. I mean that. I mean that. God says that's an abomination. You better never like a boy. It's wicked. Say, preacher, don't do that to our children. Do you know what the teachers are pushing the other way? You know what the schools are promoting? And sadly, some of you parents are okay in that. God forbid. God forbid. The truth is the truth. And we got to stand on it, whether it hurts or not. Because it ultimately, the truth helps me and you. The loins is the strongest part of you, is strength. What is truth? I can answer that with the Word of God. What is truth? That's in the Bible. What is truth? Thy Word is truth. Oh, yes. You want to know what's truth in this compromising, ever-shifting, always-changing world when nothing seems to stick and stay the same? Right there. Amen. This old black King James Bible is still the unadulterated truth, uncut, pure truth. Amen. Right there. And we better back up and clear us off a place and say, by the grace of God, I'm going to gird this around my loins and stand when the world's on fire and crumbling. I'm going to stand on the truth. Amen. You remember, Jesus said, I am the way, fill it in, the truth. There's but one truth. Amen. You say, but you said it was the Bible. And now you're saying it's Jesus. Ain't that a contradiction? No, sure ain't. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Drop on down to verse 14. And we beheld the glory of the only begotten. How's that verse go? We beheld the flesh of the only begotten. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Word. The Word. And Jesus is the same. And it's unchanging. And that's where we stand in this day. And that's where we get our strength from. You know where you get your strength from? The Word of God. You ain't going to stand if you don't have a relationship with the truth. I don't know. My mom and them's house ain't theirs no more. And they're currently vagabonds. A bunch of gypsies. They living in my brother's Airbnb until he kicks them out. And I don't know where they're going. But when they had their house, before they become homeless, I could go to their house any day of the week, and on the kitchen table would be Tommy's Bible and my mama's Bible. And every morning, like clockwork, they'll miss their meal and their breakfast, which they ain't going to do before they'd miss reading that Bible. Every day. Every day. Every day. That's just a testimony to what they do. That's good. That's what you ought to do. Say, but I don't have time in the morning. Find the time. Say, I ain't got time. I'm too busy. Then you too busy. Yeah. Amen. Amen. What's more important than putting on the very first piece of the armor that God said, if you're going to stand, you better put this on. You better gird your loins. Where you get your strength from? The truth. You better have a relationship with the truth daily. When you get up in the morning before you put your shirt on and your undergarments and your shoes on, Say, have I put on and girt my loins with the truth? Amen. I'm not leaving my house in the morning till I make sure I do that. Do you want to stand or fall? It's that simple. Amen. Say, but if I show up at work without shoes on, I might get fired. Yeah, and if you show up in the world tomorrow without girding your loins with the truth, you're going to get more than fired. You're going to fall. You'd be better off getting fired tomorrow. And I'm not condoning that or agging that on for none of you. Don't quit and don't get fired tomorrow. And say, the preacher told me to. No, I didn't. I said you'd be better off to get fired tomorrow because you showed up with no shoes on your feet. They thought you lost your mind. Than to go out in this world ungirt without the truth. Y'all got that? Can we move on? It's underlined in verse 14, number 1. You got it? You can never unhave it. It's always yours from now on. And there will never be another morning that you wake up that you're not accountable for that. If we don't get any further tonight, there's never another morning you will wake up and not be able to know. Verse 14 of chapter 6 of Ephesians says, gird your loins with the truth. That's the first piece. Amen. Number 2, look at it. Verse 14. And having on the breastplate of righteousness. Oh my, my, my. If y'all thought number 1 was tough, this one's way tougher. We as Baptist, hair. How did a hair get on my rag? We as Baptist have somehow gotten to the place that righteousness is a bad word. You hardly ever hear it no more. I mean, being honest, I mean, we'll talk about the righteousness of Christ, but we don't want to hear nothing about us living a righteous and holy life. Well, under heaven, who would ask us to do such a thing? God does. He said, hey, listen, you can have the truth and you can gird your loins with the truth and put that armor on in the morning and have your doctrine right and be standing on truth and know what you believe. And the devil still get to you tomorrow because you wasn't guarding your heart. He said, number 2, put on the breastplate of righteousness. Oh, most of us been here long enough. We sat under Preacher Kerrigan long enough. He preached the Word of God faithfully long enough. We know what we believe. But we do a pitiful job of waking up in the morning and saying, oh God, there's a living devil. And the demons of hell are out for my heart today. And I'm going to cover it, and I'm going to guard it, and I'm going to put on the, on purpose, I'm going to put on the armor of God and the breastplate of righteousness. So what's that? Hey, tomorrow, make up your mind before you leave your house. I'm going to do right. I ain't going to lie, cheat, steal, or I ain't going to run with them that do. I'm not going to listen to dirty jokes at work. Yes, I've been giving in and doing that, but no more. Tomorrow, I'm going to live righteous, because you ain't living righteous if you listen to that filth. And if you cussing with them, hey, hello, I know I ain't preached on this in a while, but you need to hear it. It ought never be said that a cuss word come out of a Christian's life. I mean, it's sad. I'm under conviction right now because it's been so long since I've preached on some of this stuff. God forbid. But you ought not be cussing. You ought not be telling vulgar jokes and listening to them and laughing at them. And, oh, I ain't got time to dive in here. But the trash and filth that preachers used to preach about a TV, oh, a TV is G-rated compared to that. And we toss them to them charged and loaded. Welcome to the World Wide Web. Under heaven. I'm just saying, we better start guarding some things. When I was down in Georgia, I'm just going to quickly say this and move on. When I was down in Georgia, they were way worse than here. I don't even know if there's any rattlesnakes here. I copperheads everywhere, but cottonmouths. But down there, them timber rattlers were, that's bad. I killed one in my yard every year that I lived there. And we had come home, I think my daddy had died. Maybe, yeah. And we left the girls here, and we run back to Georgia so I could preach. And me and Jenny run in the house, and taking a shower, and I was in the shower, is what it was. And I heard this high pitch, like I know this wasn't a bug situation going on. I thought somebody had to come in the house and had her at gunpoint. It was that high pitch, squeal. And so I'm in the shower, and I run out, girt with a towel of truth, find out who's trying to kill my wife. And lo and behold, it was a rattlesnake in my house staring her. She went down to plug a phone in or something, and there it was. Well, here I am with all God give me, fresh out of the shower with a towel and a rattlesnake. Jenny ain't going to get it. Well, I got something. I got something that I grilled with or something, and I got that thing, and I got him outside. And I live behind the church now, and I had a fence, and nobody never come to my house. And here I am, the preacher, outdoors in a towel. Sorry to hurt your feelings and give you all this detail. With a snake. And I look like one of them snake-handling crazy preachers. That happened to me. And I've done told so many details, I don't forgot why I was telling that story. Oh, guard. You know what? She said, never again will that happen. You better find every hole in this house and stop it. You better close every window and lock it. You better close every door. There better not be a crack. There ain't never a snake getting in my house again. You know why? Because it scared her. And the danger of that poison penetrating her or one of our children. And that was a bigger fear for her. Well, this is a conversation. Well, how am I going to be able to sleep at night knowing that that thing was in my house? And my girl's laying in there in the bed. How am I going to sleep at night knowing that that could get to them and get in their bed? Good question. Why don't we ask them questions about the other windows into our house, about the other airways where creeping, crawling things come in that are way more dangerous and putting way more poison and causing way more unrighteousness in our lives and in our children's lives than a diamondback rattlesnake could ever cause. Say amen. That's right. God, I'll say this, God help us all. God help us all. We've kicked in the door and let the devil in and invited him. And we will pay for this. You mark my words, I'm paying for it already. And you and your children and your grandchildren are going to pay for the devices that we've let in. You say, but it'd be too hard to change. When we see what we're going to have to pay, we would think what we had to change was so little compared to what we're going to have to pay for allowing it. Amen. Having on the breastplate of righteousness. Paul, in today's world, I mean, we think about war and like they were drone strikes today. Whether they hit who they was aimed for, who knows? With the crowd we got in charge, who knows if it's all alive? Who knows? But they said today, from 8 hours away, we flew drones and done an airstrike on these ISIS-K dudes, whatever, killed 13 of our Marines and precious soldiers, which is awful. We ought to all mourn. But we think about war and warfare as like rockets and missiles and drone strikes. That ain't what Paul's talking about. Paul's looking at a Roman soldier who's girt with around the loins and has a breastplate and has a sword and a shield. And they about to go mano-a-mano, man against man, into battle. And he's saying, you better, if you're not going to guard anything else, you better have your heart guarded. Because that's where they're going to go for the kill. And so is the devil. You cannot, I cannot afford to leave our house in the morning. Underline verse 14, the second part. And from right now on, you'll never be able to wake up another morning and not be accountable to God that you know I'm supposed to do that every morning. Protect my heart. Guard my heart. Ask God to protect me. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Amen. All right, we've got to hurry. Y'all are listening way too slow. Number three, they get quicker from here. Number three, oh, yeah. Look at verse 15. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That's number three. That's the third part. You say, well, that don't even sound like... I mean, our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Underline that. You're going to need your shoes in the morning. And out of all the garments and all the protective gear that God's given us, hear me, if you didn't get nothing tonight, and this is all you take on with you, because this is our biggest failure. Did not God say two times, put on the whole armor? The whole armor. Is this part of the armor? It's number three. It's the shoes shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So he's saying to us, what would you think? Brother Jack, you a Marine. I started to say you was, but y'all always are. Today you was at ordination service with one of your fellow Marines, right? Deacon, been ordinated to be a deacon. And you know your friends when you go to a liberal Southern Baptist church. No, I'm kidding. I got him tickled. But what would you think if you were shoulder to shoulder in battle with one of your fellow Marines? And they got all their gear on, and you look down, and they have no shoes, no boots. It ain't going to last long. It's trouble. You ain't going to last long on rocky ground. You can be the biggest, broadest, baddest soldier there is and have the biggest, shiniest sword and have cut off a bunch of heads and have the biggest shield to protect all the fiery darts and have the breastplate and the helmet and have it all and leave your shoes off. And you'll see this big old soldier, eek, ah, boy, eek, and he can't make it to the battle, and he gets his head chopped off because he couldn't walk across a yard. So what's that got to do with what we... Let me tell you, what did it say the shoes are? Shod with the preparation of the gospel. I want you to hear me right here. You'll know the biggest failure of the church. You'll know your biggest personal failure. And mine, it's this right here. Do you know a chain is only as strong as its weakest link? And you can have every part of the garment on and be covered from head to toe and no shoes on and you don't have on the whole armor. Right. I'm saying this. God intends not just for the preacher to preach the gospel, but God give a great commission to every believer to carry the gospel, to put on your gospel shoes, and at some point in your week this week, hear me and hear me well. You don't know why the church is in decline? You don't know why our church is not growing? It's because people ain't going out and carrying the gospel. If you're waiting for somebody to show up on your doorstep and say, lead me to Jesus, you're going to be waiting a long time. And it's a shame and a disgrace at the lethargy and the hardness of our hearts as Christians that have all of this and heaven too, and we don't tell nobody. Noah sang about, what was the name of that song? First one. Found a beggar. God found a beggar and I found a king. You know what a beggar will do if he finds a king that gives him everything? He's going to tell somebody. Oh, I guarantee you. Would you believe what I've stumbled into? I found a king. Changes your life. Changes your everything, your eternity. How could we be so selfish and so stubborn and so hard that we pass people we love, brothers, sisters, family, nieces, nephews, uncles, aunts, mamas, daddies, co-workers, people you work with a long time and love, and they know everything about you and your children and what you like and don't like, but you ain't never shared the gospel with them. It ought to be, hey, please hear me. If you are not telling somebody about Jesus, and I mean not just texting them, there used to be a Yellow Page ad. Yeah, these kids are like, what are the Yellow Pages? That was a phone book. What is a phone book? Yeah, back before you had phones that done all that, it was a book. It was a phone book and had Yellow Pages in it. And it would say, let your fingers do the walking. I had an ad out for that. Hey, listen, that's how a lot of us Christians live. Well, the most I could do is send a text or get on Nosebook and put a verse out. If you're doing that on Facebook, most of us ain't. But my point is, that is not what God's talking about. We should, in your week, this week, I'm not talking about me, I'm talking about you, personally, every one of you, including me, but not only me, as a preacher, but as a Christian, part of the garment, part of putting on the whole armor is this portion, and it's having our shoes shod with the preparation of the gospel. And this week, and every week, you should make it a point, and not fail at this, to tell somebody. Not even, I ain't talking about inviting somebody to church. Hey, come down to the morning store. We got a good church. You'd love it. That is not giving the gospel. That's inviting somebody to church, and that is a far cry from giving somebody the gospel. Have you ever given somebody the gospel? Do you know the gospel? Are you able to communicate the gospel and share the gospel? Because if you're not, you are failing as a Christian. And you will not stand. Because that's part of the garment. Amen. Imagine. I'm going to move on from this. But oh, how I could just preach right here for a while. Imagine how it would transform Morningstar Baptist Church, Brother David, if everybody took that truth and went out and lived it this week. Our church would grow. We would have floods of people because everybody would be out working, and exponentially the gospel would get out and we would not hoard it and hide it. Amen. You can't just be knowing what's right and even protecting our heart and not walking somewhere. You've got to work. You got to wake up in the morning willing to not be lazy. That's part of walking. Walking is just simply not being lazy. And boy, if we figured out anything in the Independent Baptist Church, it's how to be lazy. Catholics and Jehovah's Witness and Mormons peddle way more than we do and walk way more than we do. Say amen or oh me, that's the truth. It's a sad truth. I can announce we're going to have a meal and we will have people come out of the woodwork. Oh yes. You know how to get most people to a Baptist church? I'll tell you. I've been front row seat to both of these and seen them firsthand. Have a vote on the preacher, whether we're going to accept or decline. Oh, you'll have them come from the old folks' home, from the dead even. They'll dig them up from the... I'm saying they'll find people to vote on something, And then announce you're going to have food like cockroaches. People come. And I ain't against that. Jesus fed them. I ain't against that. But under heaven, when we have a public announcement and say, this Saturday morning, we're going to go out and tell people about Jesus. We're going to put the gas in. We're going to go with you two by two from house to house and tell people and show you how to share the gospel. And we have three people show up. That ain't me being mean. That's me being honest. That's just the truth. That ought to let you know most of us ain't concerned about wearing the garment and putting on the whole armor of God. And that needs to change. Amen. Amen. So I don't like that. Well, love Jesus more. Love people more. Love your church more. And that'll be no problem. We find time to do everything else. Amen. We'll drive from here to Egypt and back to get our kid to a ball game or to some social event or to some school setting. All hours of the night. But we won't get them here to tell somebody about Jesus and teach them and train them how to share the gospel. We'll pay good money for their shoes, but we never told them how to wear and shod their feet for the preparation of the gospel. Amen. Lord help us. That's part. That's number three. And if you're going to wear tomorrow, when you wake up, you're going to be accountable. Never again will you wake up and be able to go out into the world and say, oh, I got my helmet on, I got my breastplate on, I'm standing on the truth, but oh, I don't like them shoes. Hey, it ain't one of the personal things that I just jump up in the mornings and want to run out of the house to do, and it ought to be a bit different. But and I'm a people person, but it's something hard about just going up to a stranger and telling them and sharing the gospel with them. It ain't pleasant all the time. You get crazy looks at times. Now, I've been cussed out and spit on and all kind of stuff. But 99% of the time, that don't happen. Usually they'll graciously say, not interested, or move along, or every now and then you'll get a bite and you'll be able to lead somebody to the Lord and change somebody's eternity because you shared the gospel and you was willing to walk a little bit. Amen. And that's so when you wake up in the morning, number one, gird your loins in truth. Number two, put on the breastplate of righteousness. Number three, put on your shoes with the gospel. Number four, look at it. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. That's number four, underline it. The shield of faith. I'm not going to be able to preach on these last three out of time, but I'll say this. I thought about this, and a good way to illustrate this. Above all, if you're going to forget everything, don't forget your shield. Because you will be, this is not up for debate, you will be shot at tomorrow. And it ain't just darts. I'm going to close right here. I'll come back and preach the last three. But I'm going to close with this illustration. I thought about this. Some of you young people probably have never watched Cowboys and Indians. Because they don't let that be put on TV no more. Because that's racial. Ludicrous bunch of nuts. Cowboys and Indians are some of the best shows you ever watched. I mean, it's awesome. And anybody that's ever seen it, some of you older ones will know, you would have the Cowboys and they would come down and they'd be fighting the Indians, and the Cowboys would have their covered wagons and they'd put them all in a big circle and they'd set up their fort and they was ready to fight them, and the Indians would come in woo-woo-woo, and riding on the horses and shooting their bows and arrows at the Cowboys. Well, Cowboy would get shot, he'd pull that arrow out and keep fighting, and that really wouldn't happen. I mean, he'd be down. But it was good TV. And about every time, you remember, there's always a smart Indian in the bunch. And he would say, it's taking too long, it's too much of a hassle. And he'd go and find him some gasoline or some oil. He'd put that arrow down in that. He'd light that arrow. And lob it. He'd shoot that fiery arrow into the covered wagon and catch that whole thing and burn the whole thing down. And what one fiery arrow would do was way more damaging and harmful than all the rest that was shot that day. And God went out of His way to say, these are not normal darts. These are fiery darts. And these are going to hurt you. And above all, you better put on the shield of faith. Because without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And you won't survive in this wicked, evil day unless you on purpose take the shield of faith tomorrow and carry it with you to block and shield and deflect all the fiery darts that will be shot at you from the devil and his crowd and from the world. Amen. I'm just going to give you the last three, not preach them, just so you can underline them. Number five, take the helmet of salvation. Number six, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, the only offensive weapon in the whole list. And then number seven, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching there unto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. All right, thank you for being patient. Let's stand. We will probably come back and hit them last three in more detail. But to be honest, I think we all had about as much as we could hold this evening. An old wise preacher said, if I can remember how he worded it, would say, don't try to put more in their head than their seat can handle. Well, there's something to be said there. But truthfully, just the truth of what we've heard tonight and what we'll be accountable for is more than we could probably handle and deal with if we got honest and tried to. It'd be life-changing, life-altering. So I pray we'll take it to heart and let the Word of God have free reign in our hearts. Let's pray. If you need